Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scouts. I've got something, a bit of a treat for you at 8 p.m. on a Thursday, not when I'm normally doing these videos, but I am joined by a very special guest. It is Oscar. It is someone from the community who's got some pretty notable fame this year anyway, but not content with running a successful YouTube channel and finding one of the best managers of all time. He is one of the best managers of this season. He's second in the world. How are you, Mr. FPL Focal?
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks for accommodating me at 8 p.m. on a Thursday.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, honour to be here and to chat with you. So thanks for the invite.
No worries.
Everyone's surviving the break.
Well, we've got loads of stuff to talk about. I mean, we've already got people in the chat saying, "Show us your fantasy team." Like, this is all people. It's what you'll learn. No one cares about what we've got to say. It's it's team reveals. It's wildcard teams. It's all that kind of stuff. But let's just start off with the basics, because I mean, you've set up a YouTube channel, you know, this year, right? So in the off season.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I've played FPL for about 10 years now. So this is my 11th season. And exactly like you said, I started the channel a year ago. It was almost exactly a year ago, in November last year. And it was actually just a lockdown hobby. It's a bit of a funny story, actually. I had a mate and he was streaming games on Twitch. And he said to me, you know, you should start your own Twitch channel or YouTube channel. And I said to him, well, you know, what should I make it about? Because I don't really play games like I used to when I was younger. And straight away he said, FPL. Has to be FPL, because obviously he knew that I was addicted to FPL. So yeah. I did. And it became quickly apparent that FPL is kind of quite a saturated space. And so I made an immediate effort to kind of make some original content. And fortunately, there appears to be an appetite for it.
I mean, it was definitely original content, because I mean, you helped us out as well early on, because you did a video on Yavuz, who was, I think, fifth in the Hall of Fame on Scout, and no one had heard of him, like, really. And I think your video was titled, wasn't it, like, the guy kind of no one knows, because everyone knows Fabio.
That was it, yeah.
And Tom Stevenson. And then he actually got in touch with you, didn't he? And you interviewed him kind of properly. And then I got in touch with him as well. And he did a thing for Scout. And you kind of like, you know, you need to do the same for like, you know, some of the other guys who are, you know, the enigmas of the FPL world. But yeah, you did a great job with that. And that kind of sparked the whole thing.
Yeah, I did one with Fabio Borges. I know some people will know him. He's considered the greatest FPL manager of all time. So that was a really fun one. His answers were brilliant.
Yeah.
Did a video on the all-time FPL dream team. So that was, you know, spanning from 2002 to as recently as a couple of seasons ago. So, you know, players like Suarez from the 2013-14 season and, you know, Lampard and Ronaldo back in the day.
Yep.
So that was a really good one. Enjoyed that. I did a video on the biggest game week score of all time, which was a record back in 2015. And the record still stands. Someone got 226 points using the bench boost.
Because this is the thing, right? Because I mean, I said at the start of this, kind of tongue in cheek, you know, people only want kind of wildcard videos and team selections and stuff. But you've kind of proved that there is a wider appetite for this kind of more, I don't know, it's different kind of content, because it's kind of nostalgic a bit. It's going back to people's roots. It's bringing up things that people aren't really considering. Like, it's not just churning out, you know, like I do, the same stats and the same kind of things like that. You're actually looking for things in the community which people are interested in. So yeah, anyone who's interested should check out FPL Focal on his YouTube channel for sure. And yeah, and there's some great videos on there as well. But let's talk about your season. Let's forget about all of this, because I mean, all that aside, I mean, I've put our ranks on the screen. I don't know why I did that, because 9,091 for me is very high. I mean, I've never been at this high at this stage of the season. No one cares about that when you've got world number two on there as well. So this is your rank history in previous seasons. I'd say it's a good rank history. You haven't really ever hit top heights. You haven't had a top 10K finish. You know, most of your finishes are within the top 100,000. A couple kind of just outside over the last kind of eight years. But you haven't really ever got into those kind of real upper echelons of the, you know, you haven't had a top 10K finish, for example. Your highest was 23,000, I believe, which was back in 2013.
Yeah, nothing eye-watering. But yeah, that was the Suarez season.
That's the Suarez season. Yeah, I was the same. I had a good season that year as well. So what's been the story this season? Why do you think it's gone so well for you at this stage? Have you done anything differently? Have you had any different strategies?
Yeah, I mean, I won't beat around the bush. Obviously, you have to have a lot of luck to get to as high as second in the world, you know, whatever your FPL ability. So I'd say a lot of luck along the way. One of the boldest decisions was I bench boosted in game week 11, which I was very on the fence about.
Should
I save that for later? Yeah.
Yeah, that was a hell of a decision.
I mean, I think one of the other things that's definitely made a difference, and it wasn't immediately obvious to me until I was thinking about it earlier, but obviously this is the first season I've started making videos for YouTube, and you put yourself right out there, and you put yourself open to criticism, I suppose, a bit more, and you have to really think about what moves you're making. Whereas before, it was just, you know, I was playing for myself. You know, the mate I mentioned earlier is the only mate I've got who plays FPL, so I'd take loads of hits and that sort of thing. I just, you know, kind of play for fun, but also play for rank. But yeah, now you're more in the public eye, I suppose you have to think about what you're doing and make more logical decisions, I suppose. But yeah, certainly as well, like I said earlier, luck plays a big part to being second.
I have found that, like, when I had my first season kind of in the spotlight, but when I was doing the scout cast with Granville and Andy and Mark, I had my best season as well. Andy had, I think, his best season last year as well, when he, you know, did full-time YouTube channel and doing that. It is interesting. I think you kind of back yourself a bit more, because you go on streams and you're talking to people and you say things and you think, well, I can't say one thing and then do something else. So you end up going with the thing that you originally said. Whereas before, you know, you might say, oh, I think you should get in Jota, and then you go off and buy Son or something like that, and then Jota gets a hat trick and you say, oh no, I should have just done what I originally said. Do you find that you're kind of listening to your own advice a little bit more?
Yeah, definitely. Exactly that. Yeah. You have to stick to your guns as well. I think my subscribers wouldn't be happy if I said one thing and then you know, the deadline passes and I've done something completely different. So yeah, certainly I stick to my guns. Sometimes things change last minute. For example, when I wildcarded a few game weeks ago, the plan was Rudiger. Mm. And obviously he picked up the injury, so I ended up getting James, which again, I suppose is
exactly
a coin toss of
me.
A decision. But
exactly
it's the difference between first and maybe I would be, you know, 9K like yourself. So it's fine margins. It's
little dig there. Yeah, just down to 9K there we go.
It is, though. It's fine margins, you know. Say if I'd gone for Rudiger, then I wouldn't be in this position. So this early in the season, the ranks are very volatile and, you know, there's a long way to go. So
yeah. So how are you feeling at number two? Do you feel, I mean, you must feel like you can win it from this stage, but you must also feel like it could all kind of go tits up at any moment, right?
I mean, I suppose I'm taking a realistic perspective. You know, like I said, there's a very long way to go. I don't know if anyone's been in second this early and gone on to win it. I think it tends to be a late season push. You know, I know there's been managers in the past who have been, you know, first for the entire second half of the season and gone on to lose it in the last game week. Mm. So we're not even a third of the way through. So we'll see.
I'm enjoying
it while it lasts.
I feel like, you know, you're obviously a FPL manager, but with a good track record, you're doing your own channel, you're clearly making the right decisions. It feels like, you know, we don't tend to see too many people from the FPL Twitter sphere in this kind of position. But I've always thought if someone did get into this position at this stage, there's absolutely no reason why they shouldn't be able to win it, because you've got the knowledge, you've got the know-how, you're making the right decisions. All you need to do is just keep on doing what you're doing,
No pressure.
No pressure. So that's your season. So let's take a look back at your game week history. So I wanted to bring up your game week one team. You went full template game week one. So, you know, people saying, you know, you can't get anywhere, you know, being the template, you've got to have a few differential picks. I mean, this was your game week one team. So you had Sanchez in goal, Luke Shaw, Cancelo, Alexander-Arnold, Ayling, Fernandes, Salah, Rafinha, Jota, Antonio, Ings. I mean, it's just...
It's laughably template.
It's laughably template. It really is. It got you like 377k in the world. Oh, it's all dog on your lap. How nice. That's not the same dog that I saw on the stream of you yesterday, was it? Have you got two?
It's the same one, yeah.
It's the same one. Okay, fine.
He's just going for a nap on my shoulder, apparently.
Oh, lovely.
Hopefully chat are enjoying that.
Absolutely. We get more. My dog comes in every now and then. You know, Mark's cats were famous on the streams as well. So from there, so 377k, then you went up to 281 and back down to 300, then up to 200 and then up to 100. Blah, blah, blah. It was only really around game week six when it started getting really good. So you had a big green arrow game week six, up to 28K, and another green arrow up to 12K, and then the tiniest of red arrows down to 13K. And then it really started clicking in. So game week nine up to 1.4K, game week 10 up to 300. And then game week 11, like we're going to talk about, that's when you entered into the top five and well, top two. So it's a steady increase. You had some quite big jumps, but it wasn't like you went from like a million to 1,000 or something like that. It's been a steady performance. Do you think the template, going for the template early on, was quite key to that?
I would say so, yeah. But I think back then a couple of players weren't template as such. For example, Cancelo. I looked at his minutes last season, you know, and he was benched something like two times all the way to game week 19. And then obviously at the tail end of the season, when they got far in the Champions League, that's when Cancelo became a non-option. So I took an early punt on him and I thought, you know, I fancy him to keep playing. And then, of course, Mendy got arrested or whatever happened there. So that's boosted his chances of starting. So, yeah, he was a good one to hop in early. Back then, I think he had about 4% ownership, which has obviously gone up. And he's one of the top scoring defenders, if not the top. So there's a few picks that, such as Cancelo, that I've had the entire season. You know, Salah, Rafinha, Antonio, a few players like that. I've kept the whole season. They've done well. And I've not had to move, you know, quite a few players on.
Yeah, I mean, you went four at the back early on. I mean, you went for Shaw, Cancelo and Trent and had an Ayling and Veltman double up and then Brownhill and Dane Scarlett on the bench. So you didn't really give yourself much in terms of flexibility. I mean, you sort of put all your cards on the table with four at the back, you know, three premium-ish defenders and then a cheap one. And it's interesting that now we've gone to this kind of premium, you know, defence as well. So you kind of got on that from the start, even though, I mean, Shaw didn't really pay off and the Ayling-Veltman thing didn't really
what disaster Shaw was. I think almost all of us had Shaw at the start of the season.
He didn't. I had Su Fow instead, who did just as terribly, but was 0.5 less. So I'm taking a moral victory.
Yeah, well played.
Thank you. I'm not sure I deserve that, but thanks. Yeah, I mean, you know, I look at this game week one team and, you know, analysing it from now, like it doesn't look that good. Like you look at, you know, I mean, Ings got off to an okay start, but didn't really perform. Jota was in and out of the team, only really performed against United. Rafinha didn't hit, you know, the heights until a bit later on. You had Ayling and Veltman. I don't know. It doesn't look like a team where I would have thought the game week two, you know, sorry, the rank two manager at this point would be. But we talk about like getting off to a good start, and like it did get you off to a good start. I think if you're in the top million by the first couple of weeks, that tends to be when, you know, we see, you know, people go on and win it. I think if you don't get off to that good start, then it's a lot harder to be where you're at now. So, yeah, very interesting. Let's take a look at your wildcard team, because this was key. You played your wildcard in game week 8 and you brought in some fantastic players. You were way ahead of the curve. You played a week earlier than I did, for example. You brought in Ramsdale, James. You went double City defence. Livermento might have already been there, but you kept Livermento. Smith Rowe came in, Foden, Salah, Lukaku, obviously a bit of a nightmare in that, but same
as everyone. He was a disaster. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then you you strengthen your bench as well, because you had no one really at the start of the season. But then your team, you had Adam Armstrong, who came out and everyone to come in, and you had Rafinha on your bench as well. And we're going to take a look at your team now, because your team now is completely different to how it was in game week one, where you had no options really. So you've adapted throughout the season and changed tactics based on what's happening.
Yeah, I think what's helped as well is, it sounds obvious, but picking up players ahead of the curve. You know, Foden, I picked him up before his first return of the season. I think it was game week. I got him in game week six when he had Chelsea, and then thereafter, you know, he started to hit some form, which was lucky. Likewise, I got Smith Rowe, I think the same time as you, at 5-3.
Yep.
So it was an early pick and obviously did well post-picking him up. A few players like that ended up getting them a little bit ahead of the curve, which certainly helped. Reece James, you know, he's done a lot for me since picking him up. He had the first game in game week 8, and obviously, like I said earlier, I was going to go for Rudiger and ended up getting Reece James, and he got the one-pointer against Brentford. And straight away, I thought, I've made a mistake here. Should have gone for Chilwell, because that was Chilwell's game week. I think he got a goal that game week. Of course, since then, James has been incredible. He scored 3 goals in the last 3, so I can't complain.
No, I know. And it's interesting as well, because Luke and I have been on, you know, we've had rows with people on Twitter about optimal play and all this kind of stuff. And Luke and I have kind of always said, the only way we really feel like we're ever going to get to the position you're at would be to take some big risks, like not captain Salah at all, captain a different player every week, you know, try and hit, you know, everyone talks about variance, try and hit that variance. You haven't done that at all, though. Like, I look through your game week, you've played very, very smartly every week, making good picks, you know, same captain every week. You haven't really gone for it, have you? But you're right up there anyway, so it shows that you can still hit those highs without basically Luke and I are idiots is basically what you've shown through this.
I suppose the other side of the coin is, you do, like I said earlier, you need a level of luck as well. You have to, picks have to come in, and they often don't, but so far most transfers have been good besides Lukaku, you know, who I mentioned earlier.
What can you do?
It was I remember posting on Twitter at the time saying, I'm tempted to get Vardy instead of Lukaku, can someone talk me out of it? And I let myself get talked out of it. And that was right before Vardy scored something like 5-4.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't get every decision right.
Ooh, I don't even want to tell you where you'd be if you'd done that.
Yeah.
Max, so yeah, keep any questions any of you've got in the chat, fire them in. We'll probably come to them at the end of the video. I want to talk about your last game week in particular, which was your big game, which we took you up to second. We're going to look at your team going forward, and we talk a bit about your plans for, you know, everyone's wondering about Chelsea and Spurs and all that kind of stuff. I'll get your thoughts on that. Maximus Winter, though, asks, you mentioned luck and skill. What percent do you reckon is skill and what percentage is luck? Are you tempted to say it's a lot more skill now you're number two, just so, you know, you look a bit
it's
better?
It's a dangerous question, isn't it?
It is.
If I say 100% skill. No, I would say, like I said, I've played for 10 years. So obviously, you play for 10 years, you do pick up a lot, and you know how to play the game a lot better than someone who's just started. That's my diplomatic answer. But I would say probably 75% skill, 25% luck.
Nice.
I was going to put an arbitrary number on it. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me. Yeah, I think someone asked me that, and I think I said 70% skill. So
yeah.
I think it's good for you to give yourself an extra 5% when you're doing this well.
I'll take it.
Right, let's have a look at your last game week, because, I mean, this is pretty incredible, really. You're already doing well. You're 300th in the world or something like that. And you decide, oh, I'm not content with that. So you decide to use your bench boost. I'll just go for your team, anyone listening to the podcast. So you had Ramsdale in goal, who got 7 points, Trent with 12, Cancelo with 14, James with 7. So the pricey defence as well. You've also got Chilwell on your bench and Livramento as well. So Livramento came in with 6 and Chilwell with 2. Your midfield was then Salah captain with 10, Rafinha with 9, Foden with 3, Son with 3, so you early adopter of Son, and you had Smith Rowe as well. And then you had Adam Armstrong, your boy, Antonio and Tony coming with 9-2-1. So your final score, 104 points. It's 17, it's 19, it's 27 points on your bench.
Yeah, sounds about right.
The thing is, I look at your bench and I think I would have done it. I mean, I don't, it's not like you've done a bit of, you know, what some people do is they put their best players on the bench and leave rubbish players on. I would have played it exactly like you did. If you have a bench of Livramento, Chilwell and Smith Rowe with the fixtures they had, you have to play it. But at the same time, when you're 300th in the world, it's a hell of a gamble. Were you just completely set on it, or were you thinking, were you kind of a-mangaring till the deadline?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you can make the case for starting Chilwell over Antonio, but they both got 2 points, so same result. Yeah, I posted a Game Week 11 team selection video, and it was just a regular video. And then I posted a last-minute follow-up, you know, saying after some consideration, I've decided to use the bench boost. It's something I've always wanted to experiment with in a single game week. You know, historically, I've not done that well, bench boosting in a double. So, yeah, it was something I'd always wanted to try. I think there's pros and cons to it. The data suggests that you want to target around 10 to 16 on a bench boost. So I looked at the bench and I thought, you know, I could easily get that. But again, I won't beat around the bush. Foster was very lucky. And from an Arsenal fan's perspective, just about the best possible outcome there, I suppose, would have been a saved penalty and a Smith Rowe goal, which is exactly what happened. So, again, luck playing a big part there. But, yeah, I mean, if you bench boost in a double game week, you often force yourself to wildcard so late in the season because, you know, typically you'll wildcard the week before, right? Prepare yourself for the bench boost. And I suppose there's an opportunity cost there that, you know, what do you miss out on by potentially wildcarding earlier if your bench boost is out of the way? And, you know, and you could still free hit or triple captain in a double game later in the season. And I suppose the other thing is you could potentially still wildcard in a double if you wanted to, but instead you wildcard straight into the double game week rather than a week before. So you've got a 1 week advantage on other managers. So, yeah, it was something I'd always wanted to try out. And the opportunity presented itself. I had exact money to go Diaz and Norman to Chilwell and Son, it was. Hilariously, if I'd literally burnt the transfer and bench boosted Diaz and Norman, I'd be first already because, of course, City kept a clean sheet and Norman scored.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But, yeah, that's FPL, isn't it? That's how it goes sometimes. Couldn't have seen that one coming.
Absolutely.
I'm still happy to have Chilwell and Son for the upcoming games anyway.
Yeah, it's really what we talk about with the bench boost as well. Because, I mean, that is... I mean, I was talking start of the season, I can see the logic of playing at game week one because you can always build your team for that game week one bench boost and then it's out of the way. And then when the things come around later in the season, you haven't got to tear your team up. It's the flexibility. It's the fact that you've got to fill your team up with more expensive players later in the season.
It's really interesting you say that. So I've got a series on my channel that follows the top 100 all-time FPL managers. And basically the criteria is they need seven top 10Ks or four top 1Ks.
Yep.
And only, you know, barely 100 managers have ever hit that feat. And I think it's four or five of them, of the 100, used the bench boost in game week one this season.
There you go. Wow.
Which is interesting because I'd never, ever heard of that talked about. And you mentioned it again just then. So, you know.
The thing that puts me off it is that the lineups are still a little bit dodgy at that time. You know, like you could just get a player missing out who's had a good pre-season, you've put him in. You have to be sure that kind of everyone's starting. But I really don't like bench boosts. I don't like the chip at all. I don't like the fact that I've got to build my team towards this thing that ends up getting, I mean, 20 points, I'd say, is probably a pretty decent score on the bench.
Absolutely,
boost.
Yeah.
For you to get 28 and not have to worry about that chip is absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, you must be over the moon with that. Some other things I'm going to talk about with your team. I mean, it's a stacked team. It's kind of similar to mine. And what I find so interesting is game week one, it wasn't at all. I mean, you had Dane Scarlett. Let's be honest. That's and Brownhill, I think.
Don't hate on Scarlett. I don't know if he's actually got a minute yet in the Prem this season. But
I don't think he has.
I've picked him because I thought he's probably the least likely to drop in bad. That's the only reason.
He didn't pick Parika, who went off to another country to play his football.
Oh, did he?
But it's interesting how it's changed, how that's changed so much. Why is it that you've gone for like a full squad of players now when at the start of the season you were, you know, threadbare?
Well, I suppose the thinking was, first of all, if I'm going to bench boost, I want to have a good bench. So I set myself up for that. And also the thinking was, you know, normally
so you knew you were going to do it when you wildcarded. You knew you were going to play the bench boost in a single game week.
Well, no, I didn't know until going into game week 11, essentially. I had the two transfers and I could have just done Diaz to Chilwell, but I wouldn't have had enough to go Norman to Son. So instead, I would have had to move someone like Foden or Rafinha or Smith Rowe on, but I didn't want to move any of them on really. So it had to be those transfers in combination, which kind of naturally presented the opportunity of the bench boost. Normally I would go into the international break with two transfers because you never know what the international breaks can throw up. But then my thinking was, if I've got such a strong bench, then I can afford an injury. Worst case scenario, if someone does get injured, you know, I could start Livramento. And I do have a bench and headache next game week, I won't lie. And I suppose the long-term plan is that we'll go back to similar, something similar to game week one. You know, I was looking at potentially downgrading Tony after game week 12 to potentially another 4.5 mid.
Oh, maybe back Scarlett. To Scarlett. Nice.
Scarlett could make his way back in, yeah. And then depending on if Calvert-Lewin's back, I quite like him as an option to upgrade Armstrong. I'd have the money to do those two moves as a combo. So, I could end up going back to something similar to game week one because, yeah, like you say, the bench is a bit too strong.
Yeah, I think we're going to start seeing a shift, you know, with some of these players coming back. You know, Calvert-Lewin could be back. We're going to have Lukaku back. People are going to be looking for Ronaldo and Fernandes potentially with their fixtures turning. The Spurs players, Kane and Son, you know, if they can start hitting form. I think at the moment, everyone's kind of like, right, four at the back every week and I'll spread the rest of my funds around and not worry about it. And I just think in a few weeks, it could be, oh no, I need to free up 5 million and I've got to, you know, take -4, -8, all this kind of stuff. So yeah, it's important to kind of stay ahead of the curve with that. It's just interesting looking at the difference in your team now, whether you're strong in every position compared to game week one, I thought was quite interesting. You've gone early on Son. Pretty much all the questions I've been having all week have been on Spurs and Conte and all of that kind of business. Yeah. You've moved for him. You obviously think there's going to be an upturn in form for Spurs and you're getting in early. How confident are you with that?
Well, Conte, I think he's too good not to turn him around to some degree. Game week 11, to be fair, wasn't very convincing, but I do think they'll turn it around to some degree. So it is an early punt on Son. And obviously the fixtures are there and I think they're well worth taking the punt on those fixtures. Mm. But interestingly, I was looking at the average positions and game week 11, Son and Kane's average position was the deepest it's been all season in game week 11, which is a bit worrying. So maybe he'll go for a more defence first approach. We'll have to see, but I think I'll keep hold of him for the next four. Even if he blanks for the next three, I think I'll keep hold.
You kind of have to, don't you? Really, it's that kind of thing with getting him in. You can't sell him ahead of those fixtures. I'm fluctuating. That one minute I think, oh, it seems sensible to get him in. He's Son. He's going to keep doing well. His points per game is still good, despite the fact he's been playing in a pretty poor Spurs side.
Have you got Son?
I haven't. I can get him. I've got two free transfers. I've got Vardy, who's just been absolutely useless. So yeah, I can move for him. I'm debating doing Vardy to Ronaldo though, and captaining him this week.
I remember you saying you're looking at the Watford game as a potential alternative to Salah.
Yeah, I don't know. The trouble, this is the thing, I've been saying that on a few different streams now. Now it's kind of like everyone's like, if I don't do it, oh, well, you say you're going to catch him.
yeah,
we'll have to kind of see.
Well, best of luck if you do it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I could move for Kane as well. I think you said to me on the stream we did on Penguin stream, you kind of said, why don't you just do that? Like, if you're going to move for him anyway. Probably makes sense. But what's your feelings on Kane? Because he's been pretty much the biggest disappointment this season, I think. After the season he had last year, he's just been awful.
Yeah, clearly there's something going on behind the scenes. I suppose it's pretty obvious. He must have wanted a move in the summer and he didn't get the move he wanted. And he's probably very unhappy about that. Perhaps that's why he's had the drop-off. Maybe he feels there's a lack of ambition at the club. But again, I think Conte is quite an ambitious signing. I think he, you know, he's got the potential to win them a trophy. So maybe we'll see Kane turn it around. Haven't seen anything of the sort just yet. He got the assist, obviously, in the Europa Conference League game, but it's very early. You know, it's too early to really say whether Kane's worth it or not. And at this point, the Spurs assets are certainly a punt, but they've got the fixtures to justify the punt, in my opinion. I think the third one that might be worth a punt is Reguilón. I was looking at him for game week 11. And then, of course, off the back of that game where they conceded two, they looked so ropey defensively. I decided against Reguilón. But again, he could do well. I wouldn't be surprised if they get a couple of clean sheets over the next four.
Well, world number one has no Spurs. They have 2.9.
Really?
Oh, I was going to ask as well. Are you keeping tabs on the people around you?
I'm not. Clearly that's not. A good question, though, because so far I've not paid any attention to the other managers. Mm. However, the last game of Game Week 11 was obviously West Ham versus Liverpool. And I did have a look at his team because I was 3 points off first. And he had Jota that game and I had Antonio. So obviously I stuck the game on just in case Antonio scored Jota blank.
Oh, he had chances as well, didn't he? I mean, he was through on goal at one point and fell over his own feet. And oh, so close.
You're telling me.
So close, yeah. Well, world number one has no Spurs. I imagine if I was going to have a wild guess of what he was going to do, which I don't know why I'm trying to get in the mind of the world number one, he's got Vardy. I think if he's going to move, he would do a Vardy to Kane move. He's got the money to do that. So it could well be a Son v Kane battle. He took a -4 this week. He took another -4 back in Game Week 8. You've taken one hit this season. Do you normally take a lot of hits, or are you actively trying to avoid taking them, or is it just kind of worked out like that?
Yeah. I mean, definitely going back to your question earlier about what I've done differently this season, I've taken obviously way less hits. I used to quite like a hit here and there, and I'd normally finish a season with, you know, somewhere between 8 to 10 hits. So making a conscious effort to take a lot less this season. And, you know, that series I mentioned earlier where I monitor the top 100 all-time managers, I try to get one of them on each week. Mm. I do like a brief interview and ask them a few questions about the tips behind their success. And I honestly think that's paid a big factor in doing well this season, because they all say the same thing, you know, hits are a gamble, generally not worth it. Mm. So, yeah, I've tried to take a page out of their book and adopt the advice they've given. And, like you say, it's just the one hit so far.
Yeah, we've both only taken one hit. I normally have made loads by this point as well. It's interesting. We've gone very similar in a lot of our picks, and you know, it's kind of why we're both doing sort of quite well. James and, you know, we've got similar defenses. Both got Smith Rowe. Both only taken one hit. Your hit, you moved early for Lukaku. I noticed.
Is that what it was?
Lukaku? It was. It was.
Oh, thanks
it was,
for the reminder.
It was a Lukaku. You bought him in game week 5, and I think that's when everyone was moving for Ronaldo. Which is exactly what Mark did as well. So he avoided Ronaldo for that week, which would have been the Newcastle game, I think. Yeah. Let me check. Game week 5.
And that was around the time I did the interview with Fabio Borges, and he said he doesn't think Ronaldo is going to be worth the money.
Really?
So again, I suppose that played at the back of my head when I was looking at whether to join everyone else and get Ronaldo. And of course, after Ronaldo had that crazy start, 2 goals and then a goal the game after, I thought, oh, what have I done here? I made such a mistake. But it hasn't been too bad in the end.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't the Ronaldo v Newcastle. It was after that. So you bought in Lukaku for a hit when he was away at Spurs.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Completely avoided Ronaldo. Haven't owned him yet.
Yeah,
but may well do.
You did. And again, that's proven to be, you know, a good move. And going for Lukaku early, although it didn't really pay off, I think it shows that you have been, even from the start, you've been actively trying to get ahead of the curve and get ahead of people, you know, rather than just buying last week's points. You're always kind of looking for that next person who's going to start returning. So,
if you can buy someone long term, then it saves you a potential transfer in a week or two, right? You have other areas you can focus on.
Absolutely. Yep. Let's take a look at your team going into the international break. Obviously, this isn't not pressuring you. This doesn't have to be your final team. I'm sure there's going to be transfers to be made. Your bench scares the hell out of me. I'm not going to lie. It's Ramsdale in goal. It's Trent, Cancelo, James and Chilwell. Salah, Foden, Son, Armstrong, Antonio and Tony. With a bench of Foster, Livramento, Rafinha and Smith Rowe. Obviously, Smith Rowe with Liverpool, not the easiest game. Rafinha as well has Spurs, I believe. So yeah, I mean Spurs are a bit ropey. Livramento just getting points, but again, not the fixtures. So you're playing the fixtures here with the team selection you've gone for.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a bench and headache, obviously, off the back of the bench boost. But I suppose you can make the case for benching one of the Chelsea defenders. But you know, I have to start James. The form he's in, Chilwell's against his old club. Livramento, he's burnt me a lot this season on my bench. So could be the case again against Norwich. And it's a tough one. I suppose Rafinha and Smith Rowe have to be benched for the fixtures, like you said. Mm. Both playing away. Both tough fixtures on paper. I won't be surprised if the bench does well again, though.
Yeah, no chip. No chip to use this week.
Yeah, if only there was a chip for that, that I could use.
Exactly. It's interesting as well, because I mean, I look at your 11 and I'd say 10 of those players are pretty much the best players you could have. I mean, Ramsdale, I think, is the best goalkeeper you can have. Trent, Cancelo, James, Chilwell. You know, you've got basically four midfielders there, no defenders at all. Salah, Foden, Son, all good options. Armstrong and Antonio. I think Antonio's been unlucky not to get returns. Armstrong's got Norwich back in the side playing well. Ivan Toney, though, you mentioned sort of wanting to get rid of him and possibly downgrading him. It's been really disappointing, hasn't it, Brentford, the last couple of weeks? You haven't got on the Mbeumo train, which you dodged the bullet there, but you must have expected a bit more out of Toney.
Yeah, I didn't dodge that bullet though. No. Yeah, he's been very disappointing. I really thought he'd get something. You know, his underlying stats are quite good. And I mostly pay attention to the stats. I do watch games, but I mostly make decisions based on stats. And his stats are really good, underlying stats. You know, he's looked at probably average in actual matches, but I thought he would have got something by now, especially against Norwich. Very disappointing.
Yeah, and he doesn't really look like scoring either. He's a real problem. But strikers in general this season are a bit of an issue, aren't they? I mean, would you have thought at the start of the season you'd end up with a strike force of Adam Armstrong, Antonio, and Toney as your kind of front three? It's weird how it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, Antonio's slowed down. Toney's been poor. Lukaku injured. You know, Ronaldo's not really been worth the money so far. Kane's out of form. Calvert-Lewin's obviously been injured for a while. So is Bamford.
Yep.
So it's not like last season. You know, DCL and Bamford, both of them are very, very good picks last season. And both are injured, neither of them reasonable options right now. So yeah, this I suppose a consequence of that is we have the money to spread it around to the bench, which is why I've ended up with a team like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got James and Chilwell. I mean, I've been fielding questions about the Chelsea defence since game week three or game week four. And at the start, it was very much, be safe, get Azpilicueta, get Rudiger. Don't worry about the wing-backs. There's too much rotation. And now it's just completely flipped. It's literally, you need to have one of James or Chilwell. You've got them both. We're heading into Christmas. There's more potential for rotation. I'm guessing you're not going to sell any of them because they're doing so well, but is that kind of the preferred thing that you want to do? It's high risk, high reward.
It is, yeah. For now, I'd say I'm happy to keep hold of both. Perhaps one will leave the team if they're getting benched too often or rotated too often. And I suppose I'll have to accept it will happen at some point. There's going to be game weeks where Azpilicueta starts in right wing back or Alonso. So yeah, certainly, I think there'll be game weeks where it happens, certainly over the Christmas period. You just got James, have you?
I've just got James, yeah. I was exactly the same as you. I was all on Rudiger. I just thought, I can't be dealing with this rotation with all the wing-backs. And then he got injured. And I got overexcited by James. I think he was coming back from injury and I thought, oh, that's great. He's going to come back in the team. I think Rudiger was injured and Christensen was out as well. And I kind of thought, whereas Blaquette or someone, I was like, they're going to have to play James. And then they didn't. And Chalabar came in or something. I was like, oh, man, horrible mistake here.
Yeah.
And then
he kept hold.
Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, these are fine margins. And I nearly sold him for Chilwell when he got the two goals. And, you know, this is where the luck element comes in. I mean, I don't want to say I'm really skillful at the game, but like I think what I'm trying to do this season is less hits, and having a stronger squad does help with that, which is what you said, definitely. But also just deal with my weakest link first, and not always try and chase these kind of big returns, but just deal with players who just aren't performing. And like looking at your team, it is very, very obvious that Toney is the one that is surely the first priority to leave.
Yeah, I'll give him Newcastle, but we'll see. There's a few. It looks like we've got a few new managers joining the Prem after the break. So
yeah, I know.
Could be a difficult one to predict that against Eddie Howe's Newcastle.
Absolutely, I think we're going to start seeing a shake-up. Yeah, we're going to start seeing a shake-up because we're going to get more options emerging now. I think, you know, Wilson, for example, I think could come into it. It's hard to know who's going to really start shining at Villa. Gerrard doesn't like rotation. He's touted as a big rotator at Rangers, but you know, Bailey's got a hell of a lot of potential. And then we could see Danny Ings coming back. Watkins might start performing, and then we've got these strikers back that you mentioned. Like hopefully Bamford's going to come back at some point. Calvert-Lewin, we've got Lukaku coming back. Ronaldo, Kane, Son. So Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see where your kind of moves go over the next few weeks and how you kind of cater for all of those different things coming in. I think, I mean, I've taken 40 minutes of your time. It's been great to talk to you. If there's any other questions from anyone for the current world number two, drop them in now. But if not, then, yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it, but there does tend to be a bit of a jinx when people come on these streams.
There we go.
But they do,
I'll jinx it now.
Yeah, they do tend to be kind of near the end of the season, though. So I don't think I've ever spoken to someone at this position at this stage of the year.
Hopefully I can break the curse.
Please do.
There's a question. Do. Harry Dawson says, as where's Mark? Is he in hiding?
Well, you're better than Mark this season. He's like about 70 points clear of him at the moment. I don't know what's
That's
going
right.
on.
You're top of mods and cons, aren't you?
I'm top of mods and cons, yeah. Mark's taking a hiatus. He's works busy is his excuse. He's gone off.
That's what it is it? Yeah.
I don't know if you saw his son's overtaken him as well, his 8-year-old son as well.
That's
so
brilliant.
That's a good subject for amusement. But yeah, no question. Interesting. Thought there'd be a few more questions for you, but clearly we've covered absolutely everything, Oscar.
Been a good chat.
It's been a very good chat.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, if you would all do me the favour of liking the stream, subscribing to the channel, and also make sure you head over to FPL Focal's stream as well, where he produces some absolutely brilliant content. Mark says, I follow your channel, so no questions for him. I love your channel. Your channel was great. I mean, you know, the graphic side of it is really good. It's very professional, and like I said, you deal with stuff which a lot of people don't talk about, so I would recommend everyone to check that out. But thank you so much.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.